troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? 'Cause my God is so much better than all of these. I won't be shaken.
Praise the Lord. Bigger, better, greater, stronger than you or any force in this world. Hallelujah. He's God. Praise the name of the Lord. Ooh, I love what I feel this morning. He's here. Holy Ghost is here. He's here to help us. He's here to minister to our needs. Really doesn't matter what your need is. The same Holy Ghost in one service can meet every need. He's diverse in every way. He knows how to meet with us and help us. Just one touch is all we need this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. In our foyer, in our new foyer, we've got a little backdrop for pictures. Anyone wants to take pictures with their family, Resurrection Sunday pictures, more than welcome to do that. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 12. All of the children from age 5 to 12. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. Again, it's so good to have our visitors with us. And we want you to feel at home. We'd love to meet you. Those watching by Facebook this morning, we love you. I know there's different states, different areas watching us. And we pray for our Facebook friends in different locations that watch us. We're praying for you this morning. We ask the Lord that He would help you also. Ephesians chapter number 5 in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather into this sanctuary today. We feel the presence of a living God in this house. We thank you for each and every life. You know where we are at. You know every detail of our life. I pray, Lord, that this living word would become alive for each of us, minister to every need. I pray that you'd bring healing. You'd bring help, conviction, whatever's needed in this place today. Your word will become illuminated by the Holy Ghost. Let it be driven deep within our hearts. Work miracles this morning, we ask you, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on this resurrection morning on now is the time to redeem the time. Now is the time to redeem the time. You know, human nature has always had a problem with procrastination. I'm one of those that I've been guilty a time or two of procrastination. What does procrastination mean? Procrastination means that we put off at a later time what we should do today. You know, it's not always a detriment to put off some things, but there are things in this life that are time sensitive, ladies and gentlemen, that we can't put off. There are things that we must do right here, right now, that we've got to get our minds on God and constantly be ready and willing to hear His voice and to do His will. So many times we adopt the mentality, why do today what we can put off tomorrow? Listen, I'm not saying procrastination is always a bad thing, but we got to wake up today. We got to understand today that there are time-sensitive situations. Please hear this preacher today. We only have so much time. We only have so much time. And what we do, we must do quickly. We must seize every moment. We must redeem the time because the days are evil. And I believe that Jesus is about to rapture us out of this place. We can't afford to go to sleep. We must be sober, vigilant, knowing that it's time that we arise. Listen, time isn't like money. If you're limited, you can get more. You know, if I'm low on money, I can go pawn some things off, or I could get another job, or I could work a few extra hours. It's not like that. We only have so much time. God's given each and every one of us a certain amount of time. Listen, David said in the book of Psalms that we are to number our days. What does that mean? That means calculate and understand that days are very precious. And I don't know when my last day is going to be. And you don't know when your last day is going to be. It's not like money. We can't get more of it. I believe that every one of our days are numbered. And the thing about it is we don't know when the last number is going to be. Listen, time is a funny thing. Life is a funny thing. We live like we've got plenty of time. We live like we've got our whole future ahead of us, not just young people, middle age. And I've seen seniors live like they got another 100 years left. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us in this house, those watching by Facebook, are one heartbeat away from eternity. I could breathe my last breath on this pulpit today, on this platform, and I could go into eternity. We are not promised tomorrow. We need to stop living like we got 10 more years, 20 more years, or 50 more years. No, we've got to buy up the time right here, right now, knowing that Jesus could rapture us, or we could die by the way of the grave. Listen, don't be deceived. You don't have all the time left in the world. Don't be deceived. You may not see retirement. Don't be deceived. You may not get married. I used to get so upset when a preacher would say that. My children's church, I still remember in children's church, they said, we believe that Jesus is going to come this year. And I'm thinking to myself, I ain't even done nothing. I'm 7 years old. Well, listen to me today. Jesus could come this year. He could get us out of here this year. And we've got to buy up the time. Listen, it's not until many of us get to older age do we realize time is out. We get to the very end, and many people, again, I talk about life being a funny thing. We don't realize, even at the senior age, we get on our deathbed and we're thinking, man, this is it. We wish that we'd have done things differently. We wish we'd have bought up the time. I'm telling you, I want to press this morning. I want to press the very fact that we don't know how much longer. Listen, I checked the life expectancy rates in this country. In America, the average age is 79 years of age. That's better than it used to be. But not everybody reaches 79. Some live a little bit longer than 79, 80, 90 years old. Some even reach 100. But if our life expectancy is 79, not everyone will reach that. If you're 35 years of age, you've got 531 months left. If you're 45 years of age, you have 411 months left to live. If you're 55 and you reach 79, you've got 291 months left. If you're 65, you've got 171 months left. If you're 75, you've got 51 months left to live. And if you're 80 or above, congratulations, it's bonus time. Are you with me today? What I'm saying is we're not promised tomorrow. Some won't live that long. Some will get cancer. Some will have a heart attack. And some will die in a car wreck or other forms of death. Listen, what am I trying to say today? What I'm trying to say is we need to redeem the time. It's time to redeem the time. It's time to get serious about our mortality. I'm not promised tomorrow, and you're not promised tomorrow. And what better day than the resurrection day to get it right? What better day to make up your mind that you're going to buy up every moment, that you're going to redeem every hour, that you're going to change some things? Listen, it's time that we redeem the time. In our text, Paul the Apostle, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus. And here's what he says. He's basically saying, wake up, Ephesus. You are asleep. Wake up, Ephesus. Ephesus wasn't asleep in the natural, but Ephesus was asleep in the spiritual. Ephesus, the church, had been lulled asleep by the enemy. There's many in the church world today that are good people, that love God, that are consecrated to God, but they have been lulled to sleep by the enemy. What Paul's saying is he's an alarm clock. You know, alarm clocks are supposed to be annoying. Did you know that? Listen, they're not supposed to sound, and some of you may have some real caring, comforting alarm clocks, but I don't want anything like that. I want it to be annoying. I want it to wake me up, and that's exactly what Paul's doing. He's saying, awake out of sleep. Listen, he's saying you need to walk cautiously and you need to walk with wisdom. Then he says, redeem the time. What does that mean when he says redeem the time? It simply means to use up the time. Use it all up. Make the best of it. Take advantage of it. Listen, whenever I get a gift card to a restaurant, you know what I do? I don't sit on that gift card, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for those gift cards. But what I do, I don't argue with my wife. Me and her both feel the same way. When we get a gift card, we go redeem the gift card. Amen. Listen, I'm going to redeem every single moment that I have on this earth because I'm not promised another moment. Redeem it. I may not be here. I may lose that little gift card. I'm going to use it right now before it gets misplaced. And I don't want to miss one moment, one hour. Redeem means to use it up, to make the best of it, to take advantage of it. Are you redeeming the time? Are you using up every moment? Are you focusing on the things that really matter? What things really matter, preacher? I can tell you what things really matter. Those things that you can take with you. Listen, you can't take material things with you. This money, houses, and land. It's time to make an investment in your soul and the souls of your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your neighbors, and everyone around you. It is time that we redeem the time, for Jesus is coming back very soon. For it won't be long and time will cease to be no more for you. And it won't be long and time will cease to be no more for me. Bro, Matt, what if you got 50 more years left? What if Jesus tarries and you live 50 more years? If I do, it's going to go by just like that. Listen, James said life is a vapor. Let me just try to explain to you how fast a vapor is. Take a glass window and breathe your breath, hot breath, on that window, and that fogs up. Try to write your name in that. It's going to be gone within a second. Life is a vapor. 50 years goes by very quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we don't have very much time. We get to the very end. And how many of you can attest the older that you get, the faster time goes by? I mean, it just goes faster and faster. We need to redeem it. We need to buy it up. It won't be long and time will cease to be no more for you. Listen, I love this word opportunity. It's a powerful word. It could be very, very good for you when you think about opportunity, or it could be very, very bad for you when you think about opportunity. The word opportunity means a favorable juncture or circumstances, a good chance for advancement or progress. Opportunities. We use it in our sentences and in phrases all the time. That's a good opportunity. You better take that opportunity while you have a chance. Or we've heard the statement, man, I missed that opportunity. I wish I hadn't let that slip through my fingers. Well, let me tell you something today. That's the thing about opportunity. Once opportunity passes you by, it is gone and you can't ever get it back. I'm here to encourage you today. I'm also here to wake you up and to tell you that it's time that you redeem the time. We can't afford to waste time. I'm not against golf. And I don't golf, but I'm not against it or fishing or anything else. But we can't ever put it before the things of God. It's time that we redeem the time. Eternity is everything. Once opportunity's gone, you can never get it back. You know, Troy Aikman, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys from 1989 to the year 2000. Troy Aikman was a pretty good quarterback. He wasn't the best that's ever played the game. He just had a great supporting cast around him. Today, he's a sportscaster. He speaks about the game. You know, Troy Aikman did a lot of good things. He won 3 Super Bowls while he was alive, and he played for the Dallas Cowboys. And if you think about Troy Aikman, he probably can look back and, man, I wish I'd have done this different. I wish I'd have done that different. I don't know that for a fact. But listen, Troy did a lot of good things. But you have to understand that he had a window of opportunity. It was from 1989 to the year 2000. That was his opportunity. And now he can have all of the wishes and the I would have, could have, should have that he wants, but it's over with. He can't go back from 1989 to 2000. Listen, there's a lot of things I wish I'd have done different. Amen. I've made mistakes like you have, and I can't go back. What does Paul say about that? He said, you got to forget those things and look forward to the things that are before you. But I can tell you, I've got to wake up right here, right now, and say, I don't want to miss any more opportunities. I want to seize every moment. I want to make the best of being a pastor of Harvest Time Church. I want to love my family so many ways it confuses them. Amen? I want to be the best dad. I'm not the best dad, but I'm striving. I'm trying to become a better dad. I'm trying to become a better husband, a better pastor. Yes, we must seize every opportunity, because once an opportunity is gone, you can never get it back. Heard a story, you've heard it before, about the man that took a tour in a museum in Europe. And there was a very strange statue. It was a man running, and on his feet, on the top of his feet, it was wings attached to his feet. He is seen bald except for one lock of hair hanging down in front of the head. The lock of hair is designed to grab an opportunity when it tries to rush by you. The lock of hair is the only way to get this Greek god, Kyrios, is called opportunity to stop. A man was taking a tour through the museum, and he said, he saw this strange statue, and he said, man, what is this? And he said, that is the Greek god, opportunity. The being bald in the back represents whenever opportunity moves past you, there's nothing to grab a hold of. The hair covering the eyes, oftentimes it depicts whenever opportunity comes your way, we often don't recognize it as opportunity until it's gone. And the wings on the feet represent the speed in which opportunity can move past you. What am I saying this morning? What am I trying to convey to you? What I'm trying to convey to you is this. Get in the Word of God. Get discernment. Get your mind on things that really matter. And whenever an opportunity comes your way, put your arms around it and don't you let it get past you. You hear what I'm saying today? It's time that we seize it. I don't want to live with the regrets. I should have, could have, would have if I could just go back. Man, I want to tell you something. Today, I do have a lot of regrets, but I don't meditate on those things. When I say regrets, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I move on. I get past it, and I make an endeavor with the help of God not to miss God-ordained opportunities again. Listen, I don't want to say in the last day, I wish I could go back. I don't want to get past my family, my kids' age, and say, man, I wish I could go back and do a whole lot of things differently. I want to seize the moment now. What about me, Brother Matt? I've already made a whole lot of mistakes. I've already missed out. Well, I can tell you, then you can fix it in other areas. You can go after your grandkids. You can help somebody else. Thank God for the blood. Amen? Thank God for forgiveness. You've missed opportunities, and I've missed opportunities, but God is gracious. I don't want to miss the opportunities to do good. I don't want to miss the opportunity to serve God, to love others, to be there for my family, to live a good life and have a testimony that can affect somebody else. Listen, you can't go back. Do everything that you can right now with all of your might. What you do is seize every opportunity that comes your way. It's time to redeem the time. I want you to stay with me today. On this resurrection morning, we must awaken out of our sleep. We must walk circumspectly. We must walk wise, because the days are evil. I don't believe anyone in here would deny the very fact that the days are evil. It is a wicked, wicked hour, and we must seize the moment. Listen to me today, for it won't be long, and time will cease to be no more. You say, well, Brother Matt, I'm young. I'm 16, 18, 26, 40. I've got plenty of time. Again, I'm going to say, nobody has plenty of time. Listen, if Jesus tarries, and I don't believe he will. I believe the rapture is going to take place this year. I believe that. In time, somebody's going to take my place right here at Harvest Time Church. Some people don't like to talk about that. I'm already preparing for it right now. Why? Because I don't want this church to go under, and I want to make sure my family has a good place to go to church. Amen? But what are you trying to say? I'm saying while I'm here, I'm going to buy up the time. I'm going to redeem every moment. I'm going to go after missions. I'm going to go after this community. I'm going to reach every family that I can with the help of God. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to go after Him in prayer. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to be instant in season and out of season. Amen? What am I saying? I'm going to buy up every moment. I want to make the best of what I got. And you got to have the same mentality. I'm going to make the best of every single moment. It's time to redeem the time, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to awake out of our sleep. For the hour is very dark and wicked. Right now in America, we still have freedom to gather and worship legally. How much longer will that take place? I don't know. We still have the freedom and liberty to be on Facebook Live. Praise the Lord. I used to preach against Facebook. I don't preach too much against it anymore, you know. You got to use it wisely, amen? I thank God that we still have that liberty and freedom. We may not have that liberty and freedom in the next year or 5 years. You say, not in America. You better think again. You look at what they're doing. They hate free speech. They hate everything to do with Jesus Christ. He is the only God. They hate it when we say that. Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. Jesus said this. In John 14:1, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That means that you can't get to heaven by good works, by Hare Hare Krishna, by Muhammad, only by the Christ man, by the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb. That is an absolute fact. How much longer will they allow us to preach that? I don't know. It's time to redeem the time. It's time that we buy up every moment. We have an opportunity. Listen, Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's going to come a day when no man can work. Seize the moment. Buy up the time. Redeem the time. If you wait too long, you could miss your destiny. Paul said this, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up. It's an alarm clock. He's sounding the alarm here. Wake up, Ephesus. I believe the message rings out throughout all of the church age. We must wake up. I'm talking to somebody in this house today. You're a good person. You're a good man or a good woman, but you've been lulled to sleep. You've let too many things slip through your fingers. Sometimes hard situations have to come your way in order to get your attention. The Lord will speak with a still small voice, or he'll speak with a sledgehammer. I've gotten that sledgehammer. You can either respond to the still small voice, or you can get the kaboom. And it's not very pleasant. That's love, though. Listen, if you wait too long, you may just miss your moment. We've all heard the statement, save the best for last. We even have that mentality in our life. Well, I'm going to wait until I get more money. I'm going to wait until I get a better job. I'm going to wait till I have more money saved up, or until I get married, or until the kids get out of the house, until the grandkids get raised. We want to save the best till last. Listen, I understand God oftentimes saves the best till last, but not always. Sometimes he gives you the best in the moment that you're in right now. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll live our whole lives. Save the best till last. And then right when you get there, you're dead and don't get it. That's the truth. I've seen too many people save the money and prepare for retirement. They work overtime, 50 hours, 60 hours, and their nest egg just grows and grows and grows. And then they didn't even know that that night their life was going to be required of them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, they saved. They built bigger barns. They stored up things in their barns. But they didn't know that that night their life was going to be required of them. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying don't just save the best for last. Do it right now. Give everything you got. It's time to redeem the time. If we're not very careful, we will live our whole lives that way. We think the blessing, The revival, the move of God, the miracle, the answer to your prayer is always out there one day, out in the future. Yes, God will do that sometimes. But God's also a now God. Look at the definition of faith in Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. It's a now faith, not a later faith. It's a now faith. He's a now God. He's a God of right here, right now. Listen, I know God can heal you in the future, but he's a healer right now. I know that he can save you in the future. That's a gamble, but he is the Savior right now. I know you say, well, later on, maybe someday. No, he's a God of right here, right now, and we need to start living like that. Listen, he's a now God, a now God, a now God. Be careful that you're not living 10 years into the future, because God wants to do something now. God wants to send victory now. We can have revival now. Lives can be changed right now. Marriages can be restored right now. Listen, addictions can be broken now. You can get faithful to church right now. This is a good time to get faithful to church on this Resurrection Sunday. Listen, you can start reading your Bible and praying today, not next week. Listen, if God ever deals with you about something, I've learned that you better drop everything in your hands and start doing it right now, because the devil and your flesh will talk you out of it. You got to make up your mind. This now God expects me to respond right now. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to somebody that needs to hear this today. You need an urgency in your spirit again, because you haven't had an urgency in a long time. Listen, I'm an urgent man. I'm preaching like a dying man to dying people, because I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. Listen, you can be a better dad and mom right now. You can seize your opportunity now. You can repent now. You can redeem the time now. The time to redeem the time is right now. We need to decide when we're going to quit saying one day. Amen? We need to decide when we're going to quit saying one day. We prepare, we prepare, we prepare. We think into the future so much. I've been guilty of doing it. I've been guilty of neglecting my family. Well, I'm preparing everything. I'm taking care of God's work. No, God's given me a job, and it's my family right now. I've had to repent to my kids and my wife and say, forgive me for not spending as much time as I should have with you. Listen, God first, family, then the church. Amen? Now, that doesn't give you an excuse to get out of church. God wants it all together. But I can tell you this, if you keep them in the house of God, you will not regret it, for they'll make up their mind to put him first. If you don't put God first, they won't put God first. He's a now God. It's now is the time to redeem the time, because right now is where the power is. I quoted Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, the missionary evangelist to Africa. Here's what he said. I was a young convert, and he said this, and it just captivated me. He said, they that diligently seek the will of God are overrun by them who do the will of God. When he said that, I was like, wow. Does that mean that we don't pray? No, we pray. We get the mind of God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's things in this Bible that you don't have to pray about. If the Bible says it, it's black and white. It's truth. You don't have to say, well, Lord, does that apply to me? No, all the book applies to me. There are things that we have to do that God's commissioned us to do, and we're wondering, is it the will of God? No, it's the will of God for me to line up with this book. It's the will of God for me to meditate on it and to do the work of God. And I understand, on the flip side, there are things that are not clear in the Word. We've got to pray and seek God's face over. And we don't know. We got to get the mind of God. But never forget something whenever you're praying about an endeavor, about moving in to something that God's told you to do. Now's the time to redeem the time. Remember this. Now is the time to redeem the time. Well, Brother Matt, what do I do? Do what he tells you to do. That's what you do. If you're really going to operate in faith, you're not always going to know how it's going to work out. What about the opportunity of taking risk? Let me just say it like this. Sometimes faith is spelled out R-I-S-K. I'm just going to stop right there and let that sink in. Sometimes faith is spelled out R-I-S-S-K. Risk. You got to take a risk. When I think about opportunities, I think about the woman in Mark chapter 14 who anointed the body of Jesus before he went to the cross. You remember the story. She broke the alabaster box and she poured it on the head of Jesus. The disciples got furious and they said, why did she do this? We could have sold this precious ointment for 300 pence and given to the poor. Judas didn't want to give it to the poor. He wanted to take the 300 pence for himself. Listen to me. Jesus responded whenever they were vexed that she wasted this ointment. Jesus said, let her alone, for this woman has done a good thing. And then Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, speak of what she's done to me. She took the alabaster box, she broke it, she poured the oil on Jesus' head. And he said, wherever the gospel is preached, tell about this woman and what she's done. That's what I'm doing today. I'm reminding you about a woman who broke the alabaster box. What's the point, Brother Matt? I'm going to tell you, she had an opportunity. She had a moment. She had to seize that opportunity. She knew that he was moving towards his death. She knew that he was going to die on the cross, and she wanted to pour her love upon him. She knew that it was a fleeting moment, and she had but just a moment to do what she had to do. I'm going to tell you something. It's time that you and I get our minds made up that we're going to pour our love on him in worship. We're going to pour our love upon the lost and the unregenerate of this world. You say, well, Brother Matt, if the Spirit speaks to me to do it, I'll do it. He already has through his word. The Bible says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, compel them to come in, tell of the never dying love of Jesus Christ. He's already told us. Let us not miss our opportunity. Wherever the gospel is preached, he said, speak of her. She didn't miss her opportunity. What caused this woman to do this? I believe she had an urgency inside of her that caused her to think, if I don't do this right now, I may never get another chance. Shortly after this event, Jesus was arrested, beaten, marred more than any man, Isaiah says, and he was nailed to a cross to die. I believe this with all my heart. Before Jesus breathed his last breath, it was possible he could smell the aroma of the anointing oil the woman had poured over his head. Listen to me. It's time. It's not just time, but it's high time to redeem the time. Amen. Can someone come to the piano this morning? Harvest Time Church, now is the time to break the box. If you're lost and undone without God, now is the time. I'm going to get real serious with you for a few minutes and say this to you. We put off, we make plans. There's nothing wrong with preparation. There's nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord. There's nothing wrong because I know haste makes waste. You can get ahead of God. You can step out before God speaks to you. But there are things that you know to do. There are things, and what are those things? When it comes to your spiritual life, you better not procrastinate. When it comes to you walking with God seriously, this is a church that attracts very serious-minded Christians. This church attracts very serious-minded Christians. You can see that in your attendance. You can see that in your giving. You can see that in your separated life of consecration. But I want to tell you something. We have a tendency in our flesh and in our carnal mind to become relaxed. We have a tendency to put things off to another time. We have a tendency to procrastinate. We have a tendency to think way out there. We have a tendency to think way out there. You better start thinking right now. You must start thinking right now. Listen, I'll never understand the goodness of God. I don't understand God's mercy. I don't understand God's grace. It's just awesome. I don't understand how some play games with God and God will save them at the end. He's just gracious. Two thieves on the cross, one on the left and one on the right. One mocked Jesus when all three of them were dying. The other one said, "Do you not see this man has done nothing wrong?" And he just said this. Now, he had a heart of repentance. He seen the Holy Son of God, and he was convicted of his sin. And here's what he said. "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That's the mercy and the love of God. But I don't want you to think for one moment that everybody on their deathbed that says the prayer gets saved. If that's the case, then this whole Bible had to be rewritten, because the Bible says no man can come unto God unless the Spirit of God draw that man. That means you can't get saved anytime you want to get saved. That means you can't live like the devil. Live in open, willful sin, and then at the very end when you're dying, say, "Oh God, forgive me. Forgive me." No, you're not promised that. The Spirit of God does not always strive with man. We must respond now. Now is the time to redeem the time. To the lost man and woman, boy or girl, I want to make an appeal to you today. To the child of God, I want to make an appeal to you. You that are saved on your way to heaven, stop living in the future. I've had to make some changes in the last several weeks. Really focusing in on my family a little bit more than what I've been focusing in on. And they're like, "Oh no, here he comes." It's a good thing. I'm bonding with my family better than ever before, because I'm not promised tomorrow. Child of God, young person, middle age, senior, stop living way out there. It's time to redeem the time now. You got to live like a dying man or woman, ministering to dying men and women every day, or we're going to miss out. That's the appeal to the child of God today. God's speaking to you by His Spirit. He's dealing with your heart. Stop making excuses. Stop procrastinating. Kill procrastination by doing it right now, today. Start it today. Today, 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 now, now, now. Child of God, that's what you must do today. Now I'm going to make an appeal to every sinner in this house and those watching by Facebook. Can we stand? Either you're a backslider that you once knew the ways of God and you've drifted. Today's the day. Or maybe you've never known the ways of God. You're completely away from God. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus loves you. And He's got a plan for your life. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. In the book of Acts chapter 24, Paul the Apostle was preaching to a man. He was a leader. He was a ruler. A man in a very high position. His name was Felix. Felix was intrigued with Paul the Apostle. He wanted to hear what Paul had to say. He was intrigued with him. Oftentimes the world's intrigued with a child of God that's burning with a fire and with a passion. They're like, "What in the world? Where did they come from? Tell me more, Paul." Well, Paul began to tell him more. He gave him the remedy for his soul and to heal his soul. Here's what he said. The Bible says in Acts 24 and 25, "And as he," Paul, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, 'Go thy way for this time, for I'll call you in the convenient season. I'll call for you then.'" You see, Felix had left his wife and had gone into another woman. And Felix didn't want to hear that kind of preaching because it made him uncomfortable. doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter. Listen to me today. Child of God, sinner, He loves you. And He's commissioning you to make the choice today. And He reasoned the righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. He was under conviction. And he said, no, go your way, Paul, not now. The Bible never accounts where Felix ever came to God. I don't believe he ever came to God. I believe he busted hell wide open. I believe that he was convicted by the Holy Ghost. But he didn't respond. He did not want to hear. Listen, when you're uncomfortable, whenever the arrows of the Lord, when the Word of God has penetrated your heart, when the Holy Ghost has convicted you, do not run from that. Do not reject that. That is your only ticket out of here. You must receive conviction, respond, repent, and be cleansed by the blood, and your soul will be sealed until the day of redemption. I want to tell you something today. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. This may be your last chance. It may not. You may have five more chances and you may have none. This may be it. Brother Matt, are you trying to scare us? Yes. Is this a scare tactic? Yes. Absolutely. I'm trying to scare you. Because if you only knew the punishment of eternity in hell, if you could ever hear the screams in the caverns of the damned, oh my, being afraid is an adjective that don't even come close to what you could feel, what you would feel. The screaming and the horror of being doomed and damned forever. Am I trying to scare you? Yes, I'm trying to scare you. Jude said we have to save some with fear, pulling them from the fire. If that's what it takes, if it takes just loving you and you come under conviction because of love, whatever works. But Jude said, if you have to bring fear to them, saving some with fear, pulling them from the fire. I want you to be afraid. Because if you miss out, you reject this, you may not have another chance. Don't be like Felix. Don't be like Felix. Respond today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling you in this house today. I'm going to give an altar call. And I guarantee you, with all the kids in the back, we have about 400 plus people in this service today. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Every person that's saved had to come down in front of everybody and give their life to the Lord. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. Every child of God, I want you to begin to pray, because souls are in the balance this morning and you're found wanting. Make that step today. Maybe you've been away from God for a while. Maybe you've never really known the ways of God. He's dealing with you. That's conviction. What you're feeling right there in the very innermost part of your gut, your chest, that's Holy Ghost conviction. He's loving you. He's saying, I love you, my son, my daughter, come to me. I will no wise cast you out, but you got to come to me. You got to make that step. If that's you today, every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you to get out of your pew today. This is your first day, the first day of the rest of your life. Just get out of your pew. I want to pray with you. I want to lay hands on you. We're going to have others come down to this altar for other reasons. But I want you to identify. If that's you, you say, Brother Matt, I need to come back to God. Or either maybe you've never known the ways of God. And you want to make a public proclamation. Don't be afraid today. I want you to move out of your pew. As they sing, I'm going to wait just a few minutes. Because the Holy Ghost is drawing. You can't be a part-time Christian. There's no such thing. I'm going to say something that's going to make some folks mad. You can't just come to church on Easter morning. The Bible is very clear about that in Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the gathering yourselves in assembly. You got to be a full-time Christian. You got to give Him everything. He wants everything or it's nothing. It's all or none. My wife looked at me, and she didn't say it just like that, but I got the picture before we got married, and it was this: everything or nothing, big boy. Everything, mama. Everything. And that's what God expects out of us. As they begin to sing, I'm just going to wait. And I want you to just move out of your pew. We're going to pray with you. And I believe if you'll make that step, God's going to transform your life as they begin to sing. Saints of God, begin to pray.
What you need.
Hallelujah.
But you keep on searching.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
I've done all the work.
Don't reject him.
But you keep on working.
How many times does he have to pull at your heartstrings? How many times does he have to save you from possible death? How many times is he going to convict you and you just say, no, not now?
You can spend your whole life.
We're going to wait. Saints of God, keep praying. Somebody's souls in their balance. Hallelujah. Keep singing.
You can
Hallelujah.
Your whole life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Chasing what's missing.
Hallelujah.
But that empty inside.
Now I'm going to give another altar call.
Ain't gonna listen.
Come on, my brother.
The world
Anyone else? Anyone else? God's moving in this place today. Holy Ghost is moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give another altar call, and that's for every child of God in this house. So if you're saved, this is for you. Say, Brother Matt, sometimes I lose track and I forget that time is moving so quickly, so swiftly. The Lord is dealing with me today. You say this, and I just want to have an urgency in my spirit to redeem the time, every moment, every opportunity to witness, to pray, to meet with God, to influence my family, to love my spouse. I want to redeem the time. I don't want to play games. There's nothing wrong with recreation. There's nothing wrong with family time. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. But we've had a good time. We left God out of everything. We put him last on the list, and we'll come to the house of God. We'll pick up our Bible and read the Bible and pray whenever it's convenient. You are not going to make it. I'm going to just say this. This is a very serious church. This is a very serious word. If you don't pray and read your Bible and have an intimate relationship with Jesus, you could have made a profession of faith when you're a child. You're not going to make it. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Anytime that a branch ever ceases to abide in the vine, that branch is withered. It dies. And the angels come and gather the dead branches and cast them into the fire. There's no such thing as once in the vine, always in the vine. You got to keep yourself in the love of God. You got to keep yourself. You can have the resume. You can have all the accolades of man. It don't matter. Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Are you keeping his word? That's all that matters. I want every child of God to gather around these altars. I'm going to pray with these that's come down. You say, Brother Matt, I'm going to pray. I need an urgency in my spirit like I've never had before on this Resurrection Sunday. I need an urgency in my spirit like I've never had before. He's going to give you that urgency. He's going to give you a new fervor this morning. A new fervor. The time of playing games is over with. We're either in or we're out. We're either lost or we're saved. Can we come in very close to these altars? Move as close as you can to the front. You can stand or you can find a place to kneel down and pray. Let's just all come and seek the face of God. Lord, we need an urgency in our spirit.
Love you.